scripture reading this morning comes from a very well-known passage, Matthew chapter 5, sometimes referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. I want to read from Matthew chapter 5, beginning with the first verse and reading through the first 20 verses. Verses 1 through 20 of Matthew in the 5th chapter. Let us give our undivided attention to the reading of God's most holy word. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, who are persecuted. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And now the verse that we want to consider this morning, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. May God indeed bless both the reading and the hearing of his word. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever been faced with either a task that has been given to you or perhaps a goal that has been set for you, and that as you looked at that, you immediately became convinced that that task or that goal was such a great one, was so high, that it was absolutely out of reach, virtually impossible to accomplish. It would be such a high accomplishment that even it would give Superman pause. But then as you began to examine it perhaps a bit more and to really look at it and come to understand it, it turned out not to be, in fact, so difficult. I'm sure there are probably many illustrations that could be used in this regard, but the point is this. I want to raise for you this morning the thought that Jesus set something before us here this morning. He set something before us in this text that might appear, and in one hand, in one way of looking at it, the bar is so high that it is impossible to reach. And yet, on the other hand, it is really not that difficult at all. Now, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, be aware that Jesus uses what we call hyperbole. He makes exaggerated statements in order to make a particular point. For example, when he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. That's hyperbole. He's making a point. He doesn't really want you to mutilate yourself. The statement of being more righteous than the Pharisees is also to make a point. I can particularly, not to the exact point in time, but I remember a number of years ago, and as I said, this is, of course, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but a number of years ago I was, and I don't remember the occasion, but I was giving some particular study to this passage, and it occurred to me, and as I began to look at it, just what an amazing statement Jesus really is making here. For Jesus to say, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. It's truly amazing. And it really stopped me, and I had to think about that. How can anybody do better than the scribes and the Pharisees? But I've come to see more and more and understand that it's not about a comparison. It's not about Jesus saying, well, look, here is a standard of righteousness, and you know what? You have to do better than that. That's really not what he's saying. Rather, Jesus is making a point to you this morning about what true righteousness is. And in fact, it is this verse that establishes the theme of the Sermon on the Mount. If we miss this point, if we miss the concept of what Jesus is teaching here about true righteousness, we will have missed, as often is done, the whole point of Jesus' teaching throughout the Sermon on the Mount. So please consider with me this morning, if you would, what is the real challenge that Jesus has laid before you? You must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And what does that tell us about true righteousness? What do you think about? What comes to mind to you when you think about the scribes and the Pharisees? We know that they were the enemies of Jesus. We know that they had their theology all messed up. We also know that they thought quite highly of themselves. Those are, of course, all negatives. But it is the case that to the audience that Jesus was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, the context in which Jesus states these words, that the scribes and the Pharisees were known as the people who kept the law of God better by far than anyone else. At least they did a very good job of making it appear that they were very strict, very precise, very zealous in making sure that they lived their life according to the law of God. They were the ones that were looked to as the standard. They were the people that would exemplify what it would mean to be a righteous person. And that is why when you first look at this statement, you say, whoa, you mean I have to do better than the best? That's what it seems to be saying. How can that be? No one can be more righteous. No one can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So what is the point? Well, first of all, let us understand to what extent the Pharisees did really keep righteousness, a standard of righteousness. As I indicated, these religious leaders of the day were experts at the law. At taking the Ten Commandments, they were experts at not just the Ten Commandments, but taking the law of God and taking every aspect of it and applying it and figuring out into a ridiculous detail as to exactly what were the precise way in which to apply the law of God in every possible detail. In fact, they were written out. They had a book called the Talmud, which was detailed law after law after law after law is exactly how to keep the standard of righteousness. You know, we need to always keep in mind that when we take that approach to the law of God, there's always this tendency to look at the law and say, well, now what does it mean at this particular point? And what if this happens, what do I do? And what if this happens, what do I do? And pretty soon what we are doing is we are adding to the law and we're coming up with our own understanding. And inevitably what happens, you begin to maneuver. And you begin to make the law meet your particular purpose. And you pretty soon you start distorting the law of God. That happens all the time. Another thing that we need to remember about the scribes and the Pharisees and their approach to keeping the law is the whole concept of being a very pious and very zealous for the law. The Pharisees were known for their zealous guarding of God's righteousness, we might say. Defense of God, especially in terms of the Gentiles in the land. You know, the religious fervor that we see in some parts of the world today, obviously not Christian religion, but from different aspects, the religion fervor that we see, that we find somewhat unusual and strange, is really not that strange at all. It's not anything new at all. We see some of that in Acts with Paul himself before his conversion. And in some sense, yes, the Pharisees and the scribes are the epitome of zealous, righteous keeping. And so again, we would tend to say, if their keeping of the law was not good enough, it must be better than that. Well, who in the world could? So we start out by understanding that the bar is very high. But were they really pious? Were they really righteous? We know that in the Gospels they are called whitewashed tombs and snakes. We know that they were the enemies of Christ, which makes them the enemies of God. That's not very righteous. And in fact, what becomes clear in the Sermon on the Mount is that their law-keeping was, in the final analysis, nothing more than a maneuvering or a pretended keeping of the law. For example, one of the things that Jesus addresses later in the Sermon on the Mount had to do with the law requiring your responsibility to honor parents. And sometimes that can take real sacrifice, and even in the world in which of the New Testament, a real financial sacrifice. But the law now also said that one had to be charitable. One had to give of oneself to the kingdom of God. And so the argument was developed that if I use my money to take care of my aged parents, well, that doesn't allow me then to give as I ought to charity. And so, if I give my money to charity, that then relieves me from the responsibility of taking care of my parents. You begin to see the pretension of their righteousness. By their detailed rules, they in fact broke the law again and again. And the more serious problem was keeping the law in this outward way, when in fact internally they were filled with corruption. You remember the story of the Pharisee who prayed in the middle of the temple out loud so that all could see how righteous and how pious he was. And the poor sinner who prayed quietly in the corner because he was concerned about his relationship with God. All of this keeping of the law had nothing to do with the condition of the heart. One can outwardly go through the motions of being precise with the law and being, in fact, totally corrupt in the heart. Jesus demonstrates that very problem with this sermon. And so as we really begin to look at it, you know what, that high bar we talked about, it's way down there. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is not a very high one at all. Now, Jesus, having demonstrated that the Pharisees were in fact not really righteous, raises the question, if they were not righteous, who is? Who could do better than even they? Once again, the amazing thing about this statement is that it does say something about righteousness. Jesus does say, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that say about righteousness when he's looking at the scribes and the Pharisees who weren't righteous at all? Well, let me put it this way. That the real standard of righteousness, this bar that we're talking about and keep moving up and down, this bar is a great deal higher than what even the scribes and the Pharisees had understood. And we are amazed at this statement because we think they are such experts at keeping the law. We need to do better. You know what? We need to do far, far better than that. If you want to be righteous, then you're going to have to do a whole lot better than the Pharisees did. It is God we need to be very honest here. No one, absolutely no one, can reach that standard. To properly understand what Jesus is saying here, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, is to understand that that is a standard, to look at it from that perspective in terms of accomplishing righteousness, that is a standard that is beyond anyone, the Pharisees, you and I, anyone else. When you consider the true righteousness begins with the heart and not just in outward precision, the goal is out of reach. Once again, we need to lift that bar up when we lift it up so high that it's absolutely out of reach. That becomes clear when we continue through the sermon. For example, it's not good enough to not hurt your brother or to be nice to him. You must truly love him in your heart. That's the requirement. It is not good enough to not touch your neighbor's wife. You must never have any impure hearts, any impure thoughts in your heart. Again, let's be honest. The standard is much, much higher. The standard is one that no one can come anywhere close to meeting. And that is, in fact, the point that Jesus seeks to drive home in this passage. But it raises the question, where does that leave you? Yes, the standard is high because the problem is one of the heart. All of the detailed use and application of the law could not change the wicked hearts of these religious leaders. They were zealous, but they were zealous in outward ways. You can cover a tomb with tons of whitewash, It will not change the fact there is something rotten inside. Until the wickedness of the heart is changed, there is no righteousness. We started out now this morning, it's kind of been interesting to follow that. We started out what we thought was a fairly high and difficult bar, and we found out it's really not that high as low, and now all of a sudden it's so high no one can reach it. Again, where does that leave you? Are we then back to being totally hopeless? Is to stand it so high that no one can achieve it? First of all, the answer to that question, yes, it is. Yes, in fact, 1,000 times yes. You might hear all kinds of things on the TV today and where and across the world in some sort of evangelical, some sort of feel-good sense that here's what you need to do and everything will be just fine. If you rely, let me be absolutely clear. If you rely in any way whatsoever, upon anything within yourself or in anything that you have done by yourself to point to and say, look, I've reached, oh, maybe I got a long ways to go, but I've at least done something, and because of that, God is happy with me. You're fooling yourself. It is impossible. And that is just the point that Jesus wants you to see. By yourself, you are in an absolute, hopeless, and impossible situation. And that is, at the same time, what is not only so amazing here, what might from some perspective look like, whoa, that's really terrible, there's no hope, it is exactly what is the hope, the good news. Jesus does give to his audience the way of entering the kingdom of heaven. The way of actually meeting that standard, that bar of righteousness. The righteousness, in fact, then, that is greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees is that which comes from Jesus himself. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is about those who are the blessed, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who see their hopelessness before God and are blessed because they look to Christ as the Savior. They are not the proud. They are not the ones who strut around and say, look at what I've accomplished. They are the ones to look to Jesus and to Him alone, who have received the grace of God, who have the blessing of their covenant relationship with God. They are the ones who are the blessed. In other words, they are truly more righteous to be blessed, to receive the grace of God, all who have received the grace of God, not just some really super-duper Christians, but all. Everyone who has received the grace of God, who calls upon Jesus, as we said earlier, who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, their righteousness is far, far greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Their righteousness is perfect. Because those who are blessed, those who are the recipients of God's grace, have the covering of the blood of Christ. They have the perfect obedience by the law of Christ, of the law by Christ. The preaching of Christ and the Sermon on the Mount is Christ preaching salvation to his people. And the statements of hyperbole over and over point out that your only hope, I mentioned earlier the idea of if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Whose eye doesn't offend him? Let's be honest, every day. The statements of hyperbole over and over point out that your only hope, but also your free and easy hope, is in Jesus Christ. And that hope truly can be yours. All too often, and it's the temptation that is so prevalent, it is the temptation that is natural to us. we look at ourselves and we look at the things around us and we look at the scriptures and we say, you know, I really wonder, do I measure up? That question is out there in our minds and in our hearts. I am convinced that one of the things that we fall trapped to so often is this idea of establish some sort of bar of righteousness, whatever it might be. Whatever it may be, just simply the foolishness of if you just feel good about Jesus. But again, that is a bar that is set there for man to accomplish. But it's not the one that Jesus sets there. I'm convinced, and it may be somewhat simplistic, but when we read once again, let me turn to another passage very similar to what we read earlier from Romans chapter 10. We want to ask the scribes and the Pharisees, once we start saying, okay, here's the standard, here's something I need to do, if I achieve this, then the question immediately comes up, well, have I really achieved it? Maybe I need to add a couple of more points to it. Maybe I need to do a little bit more, and I haven't got there. And you never get there. And we make it so hard and so difficult. It's really simple. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't want to overly simplify the scriptures or the gospel. We need to study the scriptures. Paul prays and encourages us in Ephesians to make sure that we study the scriptures and that we grow in our understanding of the length and the breadth of God. That's a task that never ends. But in matter of fact, the gospel is simple. It is that simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and you have eternal life. You see, if you approach this text from the point of view that Jesus is laying before you just how serious you need to be about how to live, or else you can't get to heaven, then it is indeed most depressing. But in fact, what you need to see is that the righteousness is a great deal higher than that. Your righteousness is not that of the Pharisees, but that of Jesus Christ. If you are the blessed, then that righteousness is real in your life. And you can begin to deal with the corruption in your heart, and you can begin to truly love your brother. So of all the things that Jesus talks about in terms of, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, as you continue to read through the Sermon on the Mount, yes, that is how you are to live. It is direction from our Savior in terms of how we ought to live our lives before God. But your righteousness, what qualifies you to be in the kingdom of God, is received from Christ and from Him alone. That righteousness, which is in fact far greater, which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. That righteousness is yours in Jesus Christ. I trust that you now have some sense as to why I say that this is such an amazing statement. And I trust that it does drive home to you a sense. On the one hand, I hope it does, a sense of frustration and despair when you truly look at what Jesus says. But it is only when you truly understand, like the sinner standing in the corner, just exactly how difficult and impossible it is to accomplish any righteousness, that then you look to Jesus and you have all the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees that is right, that you are then right with God. But when you do come to that full and complete trust in the grace of God alone, then you have the righteousness by which the kingdom of heaven is truly yours. True righteousness is absolutely unachievable. And by the grace of God, true righteousness is yours in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our God and Father, what a joy and what a privilege, and how we are humbled, O God, even as we are reminded of our unrighteousness, and yet by your grace we stand totally righteous before God. May we truly know that righteousness. May we truly respond in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray.